Welcome back to Behind the Play. My name is Alex Adams, and we've been on a bit of a hiatus for the past couple of weeks, but I am joined by the one and only Tic Tac Tomar. Thanks so much for taking the time. I think we're at five. It feels like I just need my like 3 month dose of you, friend. I just need the perils of Leafland just to remind myself how happy life is.
Yeah, honestly, and like I think for me, I've taken kind of a break from like hockey Twitter stuff, obviously, unless something comes up. So, when you ask me to come on, like one, obviously, like always come on, like it's always great talking to you, but also it's kind of like a good little refresher for me too to kind of get into the swing of things. It's the end of August, we're getting September, so like training camp starts to come up. So it's a good way to start the hockey season for sure. So I'm happy to be back.
So, do you get a C? Should I do you get a do you get a do you get a Twitter C? Do you get a hockey Twitter C for Leafs Twitter? Is that in the making?
I don't know. I don't think I have the stoicism and the emotional maturity to be a captain of hockey Twitter. I don't know. I'm too emotionally involved. And and I remember like the people used to say all the time, like, oh, if you could work in the Leafs organization, would you? And I'm like, I would want to. But is it a good idea? Probably not. And they say, why? I'm like, because I'd be watching the game and then like a turnover would happen. I'd say like, hey, trade, we're trading him. Okay, he's on waivers, like immediately. So I like being kind of like an outside observer, but there are definitely a lot of captains on hockey Twitter, that's for sure.
Who's your NHL comparable? Just in terms of personality wise, I'm trying to think.
Oh, that's a good one. Because I'm kind of like enthusiastic, dramatic a little bit, and you don't see that much within our sport,
No,
unfortunately. Everyone's kind of just like,
this
it's
isn't
whatever.
soccer.
Yeah, not at all. So, you
I
know
see
what?
a little.
I think Kadri. Yeah, Kadri. Yeah. I saw. Yeah. I think a little Nazem Kadri for sure. Because Kadri, man, like Kadri was so funny, but he meant it. You know what I mean? Like he would do things, and it's just like you're watching, like, oh, that's really funny, but it's just like, no, he meant that. So I remember, I don't know who the player was, but it was back when he was on the Leafs, and we were playing Buffalo, and he scored a goal, and then like laughed in someone's like immediately laughed in someone's face, and then like a whole like brawl started. I forgot who it was, but it was hilarious, and I'm like, yeah,
Definitely.
I probably do something like that. I don't know.
Definitely Matt Molson. Shout out to
Oh man, though that's a name. That's a
that
name.
guy got way too much money. I don't know him and PA Parenteau. I feel like those
He
guys.
needs to send an email to see. It's funny that you brought up captaincy. He should send a letter to John Tavares because, like, he had some of his best years like playing on Tavares's wing on the Islanders, and that definitely contributed to that contract in Buffalo.
So are you saying Matt Molson was the reason for the demise of the Toronto Maple Leafs? Or is that where it
I
all
mean,
begins?
no, there's one thing that I've been kind of like holding on to as to why the Leafs are where they are. And it's funny, I think I had a tweet about this like a week or two ago. The idea of are the Leafs cursed or not? And some people were just said the very rational thing in the sense of like, no, the Leafs aren't cursed, they're just poorly managed. I agree. However, there are things that take place that just like that go beyond the realms of reality. And I keep going back to Bruce Boudreau. When he was on the Leafs, he told this story on TSN radio, and I have the tweet bookmarked because like I always go back to it anytime someone says like, are the Leafs cursed? And I'm like, yeah, no, but yes. And when the Leafs traded Bruce Boudreau, his dad was so upset about it that he said the Leafs will not win a single thing until Bruce Boudreau is back. That's why anytime this man's a free agent, I'm like, hire him, hire him, hire him, hire him. They're like, oh, what would he do? What would he run the power play? I don't care. Just hire him so the curse can be removed. And they're like, oh, there's no curse. I'm like, have you seen, like, is there no curse? Listen. Again, I'm not saying everything that's wrong about the Leafs is a curse. No. But when I'm watching Joseph Woll come up as like a pretty good goaltender in the playoffs, then gets injured on a goal that was going in anyway with 0.1 seconds left in the game, I don't know, man. Like I'm looking around the cameras. I'm like, is this like an episode of Punk'd or something? So, are the Leafs cursed? Possibly. Does it matter? No, because at the end of the day, they still have to make better decisions and such. But it's always a interesting time, that's for sure.
Does this mean that Austin Matthews will become bad at hockey with a C on his sweater? As like, what were your maybe initial thoughts of just seeing that happened. I mean, it felt like inevitable he would become the captain of this team, but you know, they did it before, you know, Tavares's contract expires at the end of this year. He had obviously an unbelievable season last year in the playoffs, not so much, but he was pretty banged up as well. Just your thoughts on that move.
I mean, I think you said it perfectly. It's a move that always made sense. I think, you know, Auston Matthews being the captain of the Toronto Maple Leafs was a matter of when, not if. Mainly because he's the face of the franchise. He is a leader on and off the ice. Like when it comes down to a player that you need to stand up in a big moment, like it's obviously him. He's the best name there. So obviously it always made sense. And I think when it comes to Tavares, I think it's a move that is positive on both ends. For Matthews, you get to finally embrace the era, and that's kind of how I'm kind of thinking about it now. And that I think before we can think of it as the core four era or like the Dubas era, you can kind of put that like I guess simultaneously. But now it's Auston Matthews, and that's it. And yes, yeah, the cap structure is still the same thing, but like when it comes down to like who's gonna embody this organization, it's Auston Matthews, like it's his team. And on the other hand, I also think this is gonna do wonders for John Tavares because yes, he's still at that double-digit cap hit. This is the last year he'll be at that. But the idea was always okay. Well, as Tavares is getting older, like where like you know, can he would he quote unquote accept, you know, playing lower in the lineup? And it's like, okay, well. You know, it might be tough with the, you know, him being the captain playing in the bottom six, even though it does happen. Like Jordan Staal, I believe in Carolina, he's a captain. He's in the bottom six. But I think it would have I guess a different flavor in Toronto. But now I think he can really, really lean into this new role where like, yeah, he's still part of the leadership group, but he doesn't have to answer for everything. And anytime things went wrong, Tavares had to be was always the one to answer for it. And bless him, but the things he says
Yes,
don't help.
he's not a quote.
Oh, it's a lesson. Oh, it's a lesson. It's
And
like,
but on that, I'm
yeah.
curious, like to maybe go to Matthews a bit, and it will be interesting to see Tavares and how he manages. You know, it's you know, out of anyone that would lose the captaincy, he seems like the most well positioned, and I don't think it will be as big a deal as, let's say, I can't think of another situation, but just a you know, a star player losing the captaincy, maybe Blake Wheeler a little bit in Winnipeg, but it's not exactly the same thing. But in that line, but with Matthews, like, you know, this team has struggled with, you know, when the brights were the lightest, and now he has more pressure on himself, and this team is not done with well with pressure. I don't know what the C means in this game anymore. You know, being around the Senators and, you know, seen Kachuk, like, he's obviously the leader, but like, does it really matter as much as it used to be? Like you don't think
Well,
about the Florida Panthers and say, ah, that's Sasha Barkov's team, and they just won the Stanley Cup, right?
yeah, but I think see, it's interesting. Like when I think of the Sens, right? And even though yes, the Sens haven't made the playoffs, you know, in some time, but like Brady Kachuk is I think a player who you want to be the captain because that's a player who can drag you into the fight, whatever that fight ends up being. And I think what's happening with the Leafs now is that. You know, John Tavares is a very like stoic, calm, like you know, just like hey guys, you know, let's give us our best effort, and we don't need that. Whereas Matthews is more vocal. Yeah, he doesn't, you don't see it much in the media, like when he's doing like his pregame practice, whatever. But like on the bench, like he's talking. Like I remember there's this one game. I think it was like 2 seasons ago. Where the Leafs, I don't know who they were playing, but like there was a tough game, and Matthews is on the bench and saying like, "Yo, come on, like let's go, like we can play, like we can be better than this." And I think hearing that from a player who just came back from scoring 69 goals, was a 60 goal scorer the year before, is now the highest paid player on the team, and again now he's the captain. Like that's something that I think can rejuvenate the team in a way. That Tavares couldn't. And I'm not saying that to like put John Tavares down. Like I just don't think it's just his style, his vibe. But I think it's really difficult If you see Matthews, who again has gotten better every single year, like but offensively, defensively, the physicality, he's taking hits, he's blocking shots, he's finishing his checks. I think it'd be very difficult for anyone else on the team to watch him and then not try to duplicate the same thing. And another thing, and this is from the off-ice aspect, so this is something that you can't really comment on too much, but a lot of people who have played with Matthews always talk about and highlight how prepared he is to play. So all that extra stuff. So again, if you're a new name walking into the organization, if you're a young player trying to make the NHL and you walk and you're like, huh, that's Auston Matthews. That's my captain. He's doing this. Well, I have to make sure I do that as well. So I think it's a mixed bag altogether. So ultimately, I do think it was the right move. I think it was a move that, again, that was coming at some point. But just like with every change that the Leafs try to do, we just have to see if that change is going to result in success in the postseason. I don't care about the regular season. I don't.
Yeah.
So
And
we'll see.
the you know, I won't make it about the Sens, but just being around them and they've obviously struggled. The Leafs have struggled in the playoffs. Sens just can't win a game against the Columbus Blue Jackets. But they always talk about they needed more leaders. It can't just be Claude Giroux or it can't just be Brady Tkachuk. And it feels like with the Leafs, it's been like everyone else is a leader, but the core four aren't really the leaders that they need, right? And I still think, and I'm sure you remember, and everyone on Leafs Twitter and people watching the game remember that I think it was game four, and it's Nylander and it's Marner and it's Matthews. And I guess when you look at like why would it change, I guess? Why should a C maybe change it? You've outlined, maybe for the younger players, but this group has been together so long, and it's not like Matthews has been playing 10 minutes a night, right? It's just why should there be a change, really?
So I think this going into this season, there's a lot up in the air. There are new faces who are entering the organization, Oliver Ekman-Larsson, Chris Tanev. Maybe Easton Cowan makes the team, who knows? So we're kind of in a weird flux, but to your point, yeah, the core has still been there. And I think what is going to start happening is that, and again, this is a very anti-hockey thing, but it happens, whatever. We're still watching sports at an elite level. It's not about the core anymore. It's about Auston. And I think that's the difference. And I think because it's about Auston, I think that's going to make everything he does a little bit more impactful. So there might be a game where maybe, I don't know, like everyone has an off game. You have a random February game against like Utah or
Columbus.
something, or Columbus, whatever, right? You might take the night off, right? Maybe before. And then the media says like, hey, what happened here? What happened there? Oh no, it just wasn't our night, yada yada. But now you can't do the whole group thing. You can't say like, we all were. Now you have to stand up as a captain and say, I wasn't good enough today. And because I wasn't good enough, the team wasn't good enough. And it's not like Matthews has never done that before, but now he has to do that every day. Every day. There used to be times where, like, yeah, obviously as a star player, you want to hear him talk, but you wouldn't see Matthews talk like, after every practice, after every game. Now we're gonna see him after every single thing, and he's gonna have to be responsible for every single thing. So I think because of that, that's gonna maybe kind of create a new, not maybe a new fire, but it might intensify the fire that we've already seen from him, from the sense of now it's not just about like me and how I play and how that impacts the team. It's about the team and how what I am doing is reflective of the team. Yeah, sure, I scored two goals, but we lost. The team lost. So Auston Matthews, what do you have to say about that? And I think that mindset is gonna, I don't know, maybe confine things a little bit. Maybe you can get to a point, and Mike Johnson actually brought this up not too long ago. Maybe there were times where they would have like a rough start, and Matthews maybe didn't say anything because it's like, you know what, it, well this John's the captain, I'm not gonna like you know I'm not gonna step on his
Overstep.
toes. No, now it's just like, this is my team, walk in, what the hell's going on? Why is my line the only line that's going? Like, come on, come on. Like, we're trying to do something. We can't. We've won one playoff series in 19 years. I'm not doing this anymore. I'm stepping up my game. So I would love that if this season, what the change happens is that Matthews walks into this season channeling what Nathan MacKinnon had when they lost in the second round, and he was like, "I don't want anything. Yeah, sure, I want. Yeah, I got the heart, I got the rocket, but I don't want anything." And I hope that's now going to start to sink in a little bit now that he has kind of that overall accountability over the team.
We talk about leaders. A guy in Toronto has been, questioned about his leadership on and off the ice. I see you smirking, Omar, and I'm you know where this is going. This is the biannual Mitch Marner debate. And he's obviously looks like he'll be playing out the season with the Leafs in a contract year. It doesn't seem like there's any real contract discussions at the present moment, but the NHL is a weird place and things happen very quickly. Goodbye, Rutger. But with that, just where are we at with Mitch Marner on this team? How much of an impact will just maybe the circus that will be him entering his final year in Toronto, the trade speculation, potential contract negotiate, like how can this end up well? Like, how can the season go well for him? I find it hard. I'm finding it hard to see this ending up well.
I mean, I think the only save this though not the only saving grace, but the big saving grace is that the last time, Marner was playing in a contract year, I believe was the year he put up like 94 points. So we know he can perform on an expiring deal. I think the bad thing about it is that I don't think anyone has the appetite for what could happen around that contract again, especially when the expectations to advance as a team is such the focus is such the focus now. And but it's going to be the story that every day that Mitch Marner does not have a contract past this year, there's going to be questions about it. And we all know what he's going to do. He'll walk into training camp and say, "You know what, bro, right now I'm focused on the Leafs. I'm a Leaf right now. I want to be a Leaf," the usual stuff, which is fair. But you don't have a contract, right? And the same thing happened last year, like with Nylander. Nylander walked in contract year. He didn't have a deal signed during the season. Fine. Okay, it's done. So like that I guess path is still there. Given who Marner's agent is, I don't think that's going to happen. I think if he doesn't have a contract signed by the opening of training camp, then this is going to go into this offseason. Now, as far as what it does for him, again, I hope for him it's kind of a bit of a prove it year, which is interesting considering again what we've seen from him. But there's been a lot of dialogue, especially after how he performs or how he doesn't perform, whatever in the playoffs. I think Marner is going into this year with a lot to prove. I think there are a lot of people that he kind of wants to show and say like, "Hey, there are a lot of people who think that I can't hack it anymore, that I can't handle the pressure, that I can't play on my boyhood team anymore." But I think he's gonna take that opportunity to kind of say, I can still do this. I can be a key piece on a championship caliber team." But I think with everything, it just comes down to how the team is performing. If everything is good, hey, everything's good. Now, if things are bad and Marner's on like a 5-6 game pointless streak, then you can have is the pressure of the contract you're getting to Marner
But
is
does it,
so.
can I just interject? Does it even
Yeah, for
matter
sure.
about the, is it just let's see you at the end of hopefully if you're a Leafs fan, June or May and see how, because like, Mitch Marner will put up 80, 90, whatever points in the regular season. What's he going to do in the playoffs? So I guess it's like, for me as in, not in Leafs land, but why sign him to anything he does during, based on what he does in the regular season? Like with Nylander last year, at least he would be the one player that pretty consistently played in the playoffs well, sorry. But with Marner and I don't understand what the Leafs are doing right now, because they know it's going to be a circus. They didn't make a decision on him one way or the other.
I think because of how everything worked out timing-wise, with the no movement clause, with moving on from Dubis, and when they had that opportunity to make a move, again, there's been a lot of dialogue around it. I wouldn't be surprised if people in the Leafs management have been talking about it, and I'm only saying that just because that's what they told us. They said, everything's on the table and we're considering everything, and like, yeah, okay. So personally, and this is just me, there was a time where I would say, oh, it doesn't make sense to have a player like that and just to have him have the year and walk. But that was me in the past. Omar, now I'm okay with having the year play out. We see how things go. And then literally the evaluation starts once the playoffs start. We have seen them try to go with this structure of having the majority of the cap dedicated to a certain number of players at the same position. And when they lost to Boston, I said
Which
over and
time?
over
When did they
again,
lose? Which
thank you,
year?
Alex. Thank you,
Which
Alex.
year?
I had no idea that there are multiple years. This recent one, unfortunately.
Okay, just
So,
making sure. Game seven?
Yeah. Which one? So the main thing that the main thought that came that was playing in my head over and over again was it doesn't work. It doesn't work. There's no wait and see. There's no lessons. There's no we're growing. There's no we will this and that. Like, it does not work. So if Mitch Marner is trying to get like a 12 or 12 and a half or a 13 year, per year contract, it's not going to work. It can't. And this lease regime can't make the same mistake that the last lease regime made, where it's just like, okay, we'll bank on the salary cap going up and things will be fine. No, because after the four, you have Matthew Nyes, who's probably going to need a deal soon. You're going to have who knows what happens to Fraser Mitton. Maybe he becomes a player. Maybe Easton Cowan becomes a player. Now, again, like, they don't have to answer that at the end of the season, but they have to establish a new precedent. And it really, I hate to go back to Kyle, that being Dubas, but like, it really it stabbed my soul when they asked, like, what was something that you, I'm paraphrasing here, like, what was something that like you could have changed? And he talked about pretty much how poorly he handled the contracts, which, yes. It set a horrible precedent. And again, and it's funny, and a lot of people will like kind of clown on Leafs fans for doing the same thing, that every time a player gets signed to a deal, Marner's name gets trending, because that's what should have happened. I'm looking at like the bridge deals, or like the single digit long-term deals. Like, I'm looking at what Montreal's doing cap-wise, and I'm like, we should have done that. The only players who should have been making double digits are like Tavares because of free agency and Matthews. That's it. But now, because of how they set up their negotiations, everyone is at a point where they can walk in and say, hey, this is what I want, and you're going to give it to me because I'm this player. And they can't do that anymore. They have to establish a new precedent. And I think that's another part of why Matthews being captain is so impactful. That's the maximum. And I feel like they should set up some sort of distance between Matthews and like everyone else.
But then,
And I don't know how they're going to go about that, but that whole thing needs to change. So when it comes to the Leafs thought process, when it comes to Marner, sit back and watch, and then make your decisions afterwards. That's where I'm at. And I know some people will say, like, oh, it doesn't make sense for it to lose a player for nothing. Yeah, but you know what? It also doesn't make sense to do the exact same thing over and over again. And I have zero appetite for it, because again, I would hate for another opportunity to take place where the Leafs have no goaltender and have to get another freaking ATO from U of T or something because of how bad the cap situation is. So it's a new opportunity to change things around, and unfortunately, this might be one of the first decisions where they'll have to do something in that regard.
but I guess with that is, Kyle Dubas didn't sign William Nylander to 11 point, $5 million. Like it, right? And if Nylander is making $9.5 million, you're like, oh, that makes sense. That seems right. But nope, it's $2 million more than that, right? And now, I think the really interesting thing as an outsider is, let's say Let's say the Leafs have a similar playoffs to last year, which is the likeliest outcome. Just so you know, Omar, I'm just preparing you. And he doesn't do well in the playoffs. What is his number? I have no clue. Like someone, he's gonna make good money. I'm not. I don't feel bad for him. He will be a rich man for the rest of his years. But is it 9 million? Is it 11 again? Is it 12? Like the cap is going up, but if he sucks in the playoffs every year, so I think it's they're kind of in purgatory a little bit with this team, at least for the next year, as you said, because they have him and Tavares coming off. But you know,
Yeah,
it's
I do to that point, I do really wonder what he what like I think back to the Nylander deal and I'm like I think I'm like would he have gotten that on the open market?
maybe.
I think so. Now, I think when it comes to Marner, I think his number, like I'm just speculating just from what, like what we've all been hearing is like maybe it's something like with a 12, maybe it's a 12 and a half over 8 years. And I'm thinking, I'm like, hey, does he get that on the open market? I don't know. I'm like Nathan McDuff, like Nathan MacKinnon. I don't know what his cap hit is right now. And then again,
4 point like 4 or 5. I don't have it yet, but
right. And then like again, and Draisaitl is gonna be signing a new deal, and Mikko
Draisaitl's.
Rantanen's gonna sign a new deal, and Connor McDavid is gonna sign a new deal. And I'm not saying that Marner is McDavid level, but like those comparables are gonna start to come up. And I don't know. I don't know if he gets that anywhere else, which would really frustrate me if he gets that here, because then like have we learned nothing? Like have we learned absolutely nothing? Can you get 12 and a half on the open market? Sure. Do you have to? And I think that's what the Leafs need to start doing with their players in those difficult decisions is start saying no. For example, Nick Robertson requested a trade. And the first time I saw it, the first thought I was say no. Because when Dubas was here, Dubas was always about like honoring the player and stuff. And I respect that on a personal level, but like no. And when it comes to a player like Nick Robertson, who again is a young player who hasn't hit his prime yet, but has a great opportunity to be on the team this year, say no. I'm glad it hasn't happened, but who knows? Like we're still in kind of like a weird little no man's land when it comes to that.
Yeah,
So
I to be devil's advocate, Nick Robertson is Nick Robertson, and Auston Matthews, Mitch Marner, William Nylander were very different. Like it's, yeah.
Oh
So
yeah. It's not from the sense of like comparing the players specifically. It's
yeah,
from
for
the
sure. I
sense of
know.
just like just saying, hey, this is
Put
what
a
you
foot down.
want. Okay. No. Because we're gonna think about the team and the organization first. And I know nowadays it's the thing is to rip on Vegas. But let me tell you something about Vegas, man. Vegas only cared about winning. They did not care. They would bring you in for a year and a half and then ship you right out because all they cared about was winning. And at the end of the day, they won. Does anyone think about how does anyone remember the details of that Marc-Andre Fleury trade? No, because
No.
they won the cup, right? It doesn't matter. And I feel like the Leafs need to start having that perspective of like, yes, cool, this is what you want, but this is what's best for the team. And I think once they start doing that more often, then we'll be good on that regard.
Do you feel like they're doing that? You know, outside of the Robertson, you could argue with the Nylander deal, Tanev, Ekman-Larsson, those deals seem a bit kind of pricey and not the great. That's I guess that's my best transition to maybe the job that Brad Treliving has done in the past year and a bit, and where this team is right now. Like how have you liked his off season so far?
I think as far as the off season has been okay. I think I'm happy that Morgan Rielly finally has a right shot defense pair, after many years. So that's great. I like the Oliver Ekman-Larsson contract just because of what other defensemen got. So like when it was first announced, I was like, oh boy. But then when I saw like other defensemen getting signed, I was like, oh, okay. All right, well, Okay, I guess it's an easier
Okay.
pill to swallow. So I like that the defense is better. What I don't like is that we didn't really address the offensive depth, and we're kind of in the same position as we were in the past, where we're kind of just hoping for Disney stories. A lot of people I'm seeing are penciling in Bobby McMahon in the top six. I like Bobby McMahon. He kind of came out of nowhere. Now, I hope that the offensive flair that he had at the end of last season continues, but again, that's a hope and a maybe. We don't know. I'm also seeing people pencil in Matthew Knight to be on the top line. I would love that, but what if he takes a step back? He's still a young player. Who knows? Some people are putting Easton Cowan in. He's gonna make the team out of camp, possibly. But again, do we want to have our hopes on an 18, 19-year-old kid who's literally just entering the league? So again, we're at a point now where we're doing the same thing. Okay, so we have Matthews and Nylander and Marner who are in control of the offense, and everything else kind of just flows through them, which makes sense. But again, that's what's bit this team in the ass every single year. And if I hear someone else say like, "Oh, they have to improve the blue line for the playoffs," sure, but they also can't score goals in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So from that aspect, I'm still a little I'm still I'm kind of at like a to be determined aspect when it comes to Bradshaw Living, because it's a lot of I have to wait and see. And I think that's probably how I can describe Bradshaw Living's tenure as Leafs GM this last year and a half, is just wait and see. And like even now, like he's after the Matthews captaincy, he was like, "We still have some other things that we're working on." I'm like, okay, I'm waiting and I'm seeing. Once the regular season comes, hey, Craig Berube, you're the new coach. I'm still I'm you're the even if the team is great, some people are saying like, "Oh, the Leafs are going to be a top five team in the league this year." Cool. I'm gonna wait and I'm gonna see. And what am I waiting and seeing for? To see if that translates in the playoffs at all. I am at a point where I they could win the president. Actually, I hope they don't because of the curse.
Yes.
They could
I believe in the curse. I believe in the curse.
same. They could come second, finish second overall in the entire league by like 20 points. I still need to see what they do in the playoffs. And for me, it's beyond winning a round. It's beyond that. It's an undeserved conference final slash cup or bust for me. And I'm saying undeserved because, again, the team hasn't done anything to warrant getting that true cup or bust. Last year for Edmonton, it was cup or bust, and they were one win away from doing it. The Leafs are nowhere close to that. So I'm just waiting and seeing, and I guess that's the best way that I can describe Bradshaw Living's tenure as the Leafs GM.
I guess with that, like the Atlantic's gonna be wait will somehow be better in my opinion.
Yeah.
It doesn't really seem like there's gonna be that many bad teams. Like where do you pencil this team in? Like are they still in that kind of 2-3 in the East, you think, or in the Atlantic? Sorry, and is you feel like it's like on paper this team feels quite similar, maybe even a bit better than last year, depending on how you kind of look at it.
Yeah, I think I definitely have them as a top three team in the division. I don't see them like making the playoffs as a wild card team, that's for sure. Whether they're gonna win the division, I don't know about, because again, like Boston's like the most annoying freaking team on the
I don't know
planet,
how they do it, man.
because every time you expect them, like this is gonna be the year where they take a step back and they're like, no. So
You ready for Zadorov just raking it with
dude, when I tell you I screamed when I was like, of course. Of course.
don't even like the contract, but it's like he is a Boston Bruin.
It's just like, yeah. Like when it got announced, I was just like, of course he signed there. Of course. And he's already saying Boston Bruinsy stuff. Like, of course. Like I'm so looking forward to just hating him right off the rip. But yeah, but like Boston, I still see as a team being there. Leafs, obviously.
Tampa is going to be very interesting.
Tampa's interesting, right? Because like last year they didn't have Vasilevskiy for the longest time. Stamkos is in Nashville now, which I still forget sometimes. And then when you think of teams like Ottawa Sens,
Oh,
they're trying, they're probably gonna try to make
Buffalo,
it. Buffalo,
weird.
right?
Red Wings,
Montreal, who knows? So
Florida, eyes are playing.
like yeah, like it's gonna be one of those seasons, and like we say it all the time, like they cannot take a day off. Like they really can't. And I hope that's the one thing that Craig Berube changes, in that it used to drive me nuts how the Leafs would just have like horrible starts, like awful starts. It's like just like it's like 10 minutes into the first period and they're like, oh wow, it's a hockey game, and they're already down like 3-0. So I hope that changes, because like the Atlantic is getting faster and they're getting more skilled and they're getting more firepower. So the defense and the goaltending really, really need to stand up, in many ways, shapes, and forms. So like Anthony Stolarz and Joseph Woll, I think they're going to be relied on a lot. And again, hopefully, the additions of Tanev and OEL really help to kind of reform things. So to answer the original question, I see the Leafs being a top three division team. I don't think they'll be one. I can see them finishing two, but again, ultimately, like I don't like freaking make it. Just get in, and we'll evaluate from there.
You talked about Berube. I haven't talked to you since he was hired.
Yeah.
Obviously, almost pretty unequivocally, like most people were in Leafland, were very happy about that decision. I know here in Ottawa, many people wanted him as well. A hard coach, a tough coach, but a winner as well.
Yeah.
And his teams, the Blues, kind of like a little bit like the Bruins of the West, in terms of just grinding teams down, knowing how to win. How do you think that might change the way the Leafs play, especially in the playoffs?
Well, I mean, like again, like that style of play, like it doesn't go away. And there used to be a time where I used to really like buy into the idea of like, well, just because this is how things are always done doesn't mean like it's the only way. But again, like every year, the teams who are gritty, who are annoying to play against, who are tough along the boards, tough in the corners, who make you pay if you stand in front of the goalie, like those teams have the most success. And this iteration of the Leafs, like these core players have been playing against that their entire careers. And it's not until recently where it's really started to click for them, where it's like, hey, we could do that too. And you start to see sparks of it a little bit with Sheldon Keefe the last like 2 seasons. But I'm hoping now that like this year, like that's the message from the beginning. Paul Maurice, after the Florida Panthers won the cup, said that they had a message at the beginning of the season that this is the way we're going to play, because this style of play wins in the playoffs. And I hope Craig Berube has that same mentality for the Leafs. Yes, use your skill. Yes, score goals, deke people out, whatever. But if you're up 3-0 in the last minute of the period, use your head. And I hope he holds the team accountable in that regard. There were so way too many times of just letting the opponent get back into the game. And that used to drive me nuts all the time. Just get back into the game, not making use of opportunities, not capitalizing on the power play. And so that's what I'm hoping that Craig Berube adds to that team, is that urgency. Urgency and execution, and that instinct to get the job done. Yes, it's the second period, but the game is not over. There's 5 minutes left in regulation. The game is not over. Oh, it's the end of your shift. Your shift is not over until you're off the ice. So I hope that gets added to this Leafs team. And if it does, I'll be thoroughly happy.
I guess the question is that I asked you last year, I'm going to ask you this year, I'm probably going to ask you it next year. What can they win the cup? Is that on the cards, or are we, as you said, sneaking into the conference finals and being like, "Kumbaya, we won 2 rounds, we've arrived."
I think that's what they're going to tell themselves, both as players and also as an organization. I think they're going to go into it with the mentality of it's cup or bust for them. I think they're probably going to see. They're gonna treat Matthews' this 4-year extension as this new window to win. I think when it comes down to the players who have been on the team the longest, I think they can go into this year thinking that, hey, this might be the last chance for us to win together, like as we're looking at it right now.
Last dance.
This is this for, yeah, absolutely. For Matthews, Nylander, Tavares, Marner, Morgan Riley, those five together, this is their last dance, absolutely. Because, you know, yeah, John Tavares could extend. He also could not. And the team can just say, actually, you know what? No, we're gonna let you walk and bring someone else. Mitch Marner, yeah, you were drafted fourth overall. You're a hometown kid. You've done this, you've done that. You're in the record book. But you know what? It's been fun. Thank you. So for those five together, who, and again, they say it all the time. They love playing with each other. You know, they love being on the same team. They love competing and such and such. This is their last chance. So for them, it's cup or bust. For me, make the conference final at least. That's me. I have not seen enough from the team, from the players who have been on the team currently, and from the decisions that has been made around the team to say that it's cup or bust for them. I'm not at that point. I can't be at that point. Just because again, there are too many question marks and there are too many wait and sees. Even in net, like we're all optimistic about Wald and Stolarz, but like they haven't proven anything. Like who knows? Like
Wall's always
the
injured.
exactly. We could be at a point where Matt Murray's the number one again. Who knows? Like
Oh, I've heard that before. I've heard that before.
exactly, right? So I think the team itself will have a cup and bust mentality, but I'm just not there.
But I guess, like, why would it be different this year?
I think it might be different from the sense that I think in the past, the threat of change was always just words. I don't think they truly believed that anything would change. And I think Brendan Shanahan has a lot to do with that. But guess who else is also on the last year of their deal? Him. And if he goes, then all bets are off. Like, so again, so I think that idea again of like, hey, this could be like, if we don't perform, if we don't deliver, like this will be the year where like serious changes will be made, whether they like it or not. And they, again, they're starting to have their younger players who are starting to come up, and they can compete. They can be ready, I think, at that regard. Yeah, they may not be on the same elite level as like a Marner or as a Tavares at its peak, but hey, it can still work. Again, like the craziest things happen in the playoffs, and teams where you're just like, why are you even here? Like on paper, end up going far, and I think that's the approach that they're gonna start to make in that to really develop a playoff style winning mentality amongst the team. And if you're on board with that and you perform, cool. And if not, sorry, you're gone. And I think that's what the difference is, in that the threat of change for the first time is true and honest.
Well, for my sake, I hope that happens. But
It's fair. I get it.
honestly, when the Leafs win,
Yeah.
I don't know what that's like, but
Yeah.
when the Leafs win, I am thinking of you, like Steve Dangle, like just the diehards of diehards out there.
Yeah.
But then when they lose, it's I still I was in Toronto when they lost to Boston, and it just
Yeah.
felt.
And like, here's the thing. And there was a time where I used to be like, why are you doing that? Like, you don't want this to happen to your team. And I'm like, no, I get it. Because the Leafs, and I've said this a lot, they just can't lose. There always has to be some story, or it always has to be like the most mythical way ever. And again, like game seven, again, against Boston, again. You know, a puck goes into the crowd, a person wearing a Nylander jersey catches the puck,
Yep.
and then William Nylander scores a goal, and you're like, whoa, wow, all they have to do is hold on for
I
10
know.
minutes and then Boston
I
scores.
know. I was
Yeah.
like, this actually makes too much sense. And it's
Yeah. So it's like I also like, you know, a non-Leafs fans who rip on Leafs fans, I get it. I get it, you know, that's the nature of the game. But just hopefully there will be a time where we can finally not be the butt end of the joke. But again, there's not been much that will make me think that that will change. But
What I really want in the Leafs locker room, I just want a big placard that says it's about the journey, not the destination.
there are certain like where like I don't want to hear the word lesson. Like I remember when Tavares was on the world championship team and he was like, oh, it's a lesson. I was like, it's like there's so many things that they're just tainted for us, and that's definitely one of them. So we'll see. But I don't know. It'll be an entertaining season, like all together, and I'm sure we'll all have a group collective freak out when the Devils beat us, because of course they will, because it'll be Sheldon Keefe. So yeah,
Well, you
watch
know
out.
what? I think this is the best segue. We talked about Game 7's collapses. I want to just do a couple quick hitters before I let you go, because there's actually been a lot of NHL news in the past week or so, and today as we record. But I think the biggest one, at least, has just been maybe what you might look back at this day as or this move, or a couple moves in tandem as a really big kind of momentous change in the environment and ecosystem of the NHL in terms of offer sheets. And the Oilers, obviously, St. Louis. I don't know if Doug Armstrong and Stan Bowman will ever get a drink anytime soon. But obviously Broberg and Holloway were offer sheeted for, I think, 4 and a bit million, and then 2.3 million, I believe, in that range. And the Oilers decided to get some compensatory picks back, but traded CeCe, got Podkolzin, but essentially have lost a lot of talent, a lot of young talent off this.
Young talent. That's my main takeaway from it all. Is it's like I didn't realize how old the Oilers are, and they just
They're the
got
oldest.
sick, and they just got older. And that's tough. I mean, but I wonder if as the organization they think, okay, well, you know what, we have McDavid and Draisaitl, so like, well, it doesn't matter. But like at the same time, it's like you kind of hope that like those like first round picks kind of like make their way up. And again, like I don't know what like Philip Broberg's like ceiling was, but like
He was good.
I know a lot of Oilers fans were really high on him. I think of him. I think of like what Evan Bouchard has become, and it's like that could have been a really cool like 1-2 on the blue line, like Dylan Holloway. And he was another first round pick who
He
I
played
think
really well
I.
in the playoffs.
Yeah, really good potential, I think, to be one of those players who just like ignites with McDavid or Draisaitl, and again, anyone can. But it's the age that's really interesting there, and I wonder how that changes any decisions. From St. Louis's at the point, I love it because again, offer sheets are so underused. I remember. I think this might be the lot. The previous offer sheet I think was Montreal and Carolina.
No, it was Kotkaniemi.
Yes, sorry, but yeah, between Montreal and Carolina, and I was like, oh, cool, these still happen. So I'm glad it happened from that aspect, and then Doug Armstrong's called comments afterwards saying like, oh, like if it was my mom, I'd do, I would still do the offer sheet. I'm like, hey, there you go. So I think from that aspect, it's cool. But again, like it's the perfectly executed offer sheet. Like you have a team who's just
At the same time, too.
in cap hell. And like when it happened, I'm like, oh, they're losing at least one of them. Like I thought they'd at least make moves to try to match one of them, but I'm like, they're losing at least one, and they ended up losing both. And now it looks like they might bring Tyson Barrie back to replace Cody Ceci or something on a
Oh God.
PTO. But
Oh
yeah,
God.
I like that aspect because again, like if you use it really well, like offer sheets are sick, and the Blues are a team that like. They kind of disappeared a little bit,
But
but
they'll be sneaky. They got
they're
that Joseph.
such an honest organization. I respect it so much. If they go into a year, they're like, hey, we're not good. Okay, they're like, okay, we're trading this person, this person, this person. We'll start it over. They're such an honest organization, and I think getting Holloway and Broberg at this time is actually really great. And I wouldn't be surprised if they make the playoffs this year. Honestly, that's youth and skill that I think could be a really good, really big game changer on a team like that.
But how do you think this, bigger picture wise will change the way teams look at offer sheets? Because it should. Like, everything in my mind is like, oh, GMs, they're gonna change their mind. They're gonna be like, oh, this is smart. We can use offer sheets, only give up a second round pick. And then I remember how Kyle Dubas never traded anyone for 5 years. So then I'm like, ah, and he was the young one. So I guess, do you think it will change? How will it change things? I hope it does, because I think it'll give a proliferation to young guys on deals who are getting paid now, but guys in between, right? Like, in, for example, with, Nick Robertson, like, would a team, would Utah when they were Arizona, but just a team like that that can kind of take a flyer and they have a million second round picks or whatever, right? I think, I hope it proliferates, get guys to get the money they deserve and just make more for more movement and more real transactions.
I think from that aspect, I think there could be a window where it starts to happen more, but I think that's more because of the players and not necessarily the GMs. I think what we're seeing now, and people like complain about it a lot, is that you're seeing players, young players, who are really trying to take their careers into their hands as quicker than usual. Like the rule of thumb before was this, you pay your dues, you play on this team, and then hey, once you turn 27 and you get that nice UFA label, then you can do whatever you want. And what we're seeing is we're seeing a lot more young players like make decisions for themselves. And I wonder if with that mindset, they kind of start to force teams' hands a little bit, as far as that. So, like recently, like even just today, we had, Pittsburgh and Winnipeg will have to have the trade between Jágr and McGrody. And McGrody was a player who just did not want to sign in Winnipeg. Selfishly, I was hoping he'd go to the Leafs, but freaking
Yeah,
Kyle
that's
got
not
him. So
happening, buddy.
yeah. So
Keep
like
it going.
instances, instances like that. So I think for because play, young players are not really taking RFA statuses as what they used to be before. Like before, it was just like okay, well, I'm an RFA, so I'll just take whatever and take my bridge deal and whatever. But I think now they might actually start to look at other opportunities and say, like, hey, I don't really like the situation, or like I don't like what this offer is. I'm gonna sign this opportunity with another team to either one, get the money that I want to get, or two, just get put in a better situation. And like, and I'm seeing a lot of Oilers fans, and like, and again, like, and for Oilers fans who are listening, like, just like correct me if I'm wrong, but like a lot of people are saying like, oh, like Holloway should fire his agent because he put himself in a bad position. And I'm like, we don't know that.
He
Like
got
he
paid
could
more
he,
money. I saw he
yeah.
was offered $1 million and he got 2 point something million. He
Yeah,
didn't.
more money. Maybe he gets a better opportunity. Maybe he ends up playing on a top power play unit. I don't think he's playing on a top power play unit in Edmonton. Freaking David, Draisaitl, Nugent-Hopkins, Hyman, like who's coming off?
Hyman contract. Oh, okay, just.
Yeah, anyway. So like, I think there could be I guess a reality where we start to see more offer sheets just because players start to kind of force them a little bit more.
Yeah, no, for sure. The Winnipeg Jets fan in me is like, okay, are we going to be a franchise? No one wants to go to Winnipeg. They just had a first round pick who just asked out within 2 years. And it
Blame
will affect
employment.
Canadian teams too, but I mean, there's also a lot of Canadian players too.
Yeah.
I really think about Winnipeg, and not just because I'm a fan, but it's like the least desirable place. Like, if you're Kevin Sheveldayoff, do you even draft Americans at this point? Like, you just saw an American go to the college route and be like he Kevin Sheveldayoff just said today, McGrady told him, I'm not coming. And he's like, why? He's like, I just don't want to be here. I wore the jersey and I didn't like it. I'm like, I think you saw the weather reports, but that's okay.
Yeah, there's probably some other details in that answer, but who
Yes,
knows?
but I think it's going to be interesting to see. And I'm not against players going where they want. Like, if you think about any other industry, for the most part, maybe Silicon Valley, everyone has to go to San Francisco. But for the most part, like, people have some sort of autonomy where they live, where they go. And in the NHL, it's like, oh, you're going to Utah. Oh, I'm a Mormon. No, it's like, right? It's like, it's just a different world, right? So it'll be interesting to see how that shapes out. I guess the last one. Just because I guess always ties to the Jets because it's me. No, I'm kidding. But Patrick Laine going to the Habs. I love this deal for the team. Man, Kent Hughes just does amazing trades. I don't know if the team win, and you can talk about his draft record later, but his trades have been really, really good. Great value. And I love
Kent
this.
Hughes, man, like Kenny Hughes, he's killing it. Like that trade shocked me, because at first I thought the trade was
A second.
Line A for Harrison a second, and
Yes.
I looked at it, I was like, wait, no, they got Line A and a second for Harris. And I'm like, that's nuts. Now, granted, like again, it just speaks how valuable cap space is. Like, and again, like if they can't take the full 8.7 of that cap hit, like it's definitely a different deal. But like, it's, man, like I think for better or for worse, I think it still ends up being a good trade. I think, like Jordan Harris is playing NHL games, and I think he had a good future in the NHL. But they have other defensive prospects who are, I think, waiting to play. And then again, if Patrick Laine, just if he takes that scenario, and it's a new organization with the bright lights of a hockey market, he's back in Canada. This could the Habs
Cole
could be
Caulfield on a power play is crazy.
is stupid. So like I applaud Hughes for the trade, man. Like, it's, I think it's a trade that makes so much sense. And again, it was a trade that I hoped didn't happen. But hey, I guess we'll be seeing a lot of Line A this season. But no, but just add for Line A as a person, like I just hope that it works out for him.
Yeah.
Just considering like everything he's gone through this year. But as a player, I hope that whatever damage he does is not against the Leafs, because all we need is another, oh, Matthews versus Laine. It's just like,
Oh,
man.
I was on Line A. I can't for a year and a half, for 2 years, 2 years, 2018, and then it kind of fell off.
It's
But
okay, Alex. We all make mistakes. It's fine.
it's okay. It's
Oh,
I know what it's like to win a couple rounds in the playoffs. I've seen it twice.
yeah. See, this is why being a Leafs fan sucks. Is that you can't chirp. Like they like
No, I know.
you can never chirp. It sucks. And it's like,
Your
ah,
hands
yeah.
are tied behind your back every time.
Exactly. Exactly.
The honestly, the first reaction I had to that trade was the Habs are better than the Sens. That was my first reaction. I was like, uh-oh. They're not that far apart. But also
No.
that Habs blue line is shaky to say the least.
They're goaltending too.
I don't know,
All
their
right.
goaltending's outperformed itself, but anyways, we're going on
Yeah.
tangents. But
Yeah.
my last question before I let you go is who
Yeah.
is the best team in Canada next year?
Oh, that's a good question. Best team in Canada. Man. Man, 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 man. Oh, gosh. Shout out to Sam Chang. I think Vancouver's legit. I don't think that being said, there are some question marks there. Like, we don't know. I don't know if it's clear on Thatcher Demko's status. I don't think so. That can be a big kind of iffy there. Man, I think I'll say Edmonton. I think being one win away from the Stanley Cup is going to be a sting that's going to continue to sting up until the playoffs start next season. And I think it'd be kind of foolish just to kind of completely write them off. Like, for better or worse, they still got there. And yeah, even though they are older, I still think these, you still have McDavid, and you still have Draisaitl.
They're
I
supposed
think,
to be getting better.
yeah, they're supposed to be getting better. So, who knows? And or me, I don't know. Maybe this is a whole way of just trying not to jinx myself, because like, if there was ever a year for the Leafs to just sort of pop off and be like a top team in the league, it would be this year, just because no one would care. Like, everyone would be like, oh, the Leafs are on a heater. I'm like, yes, it's March. Okay. It's like, okay, fine. So I'll give a shout out to Edmonton, just because they were one win away last year.
Well, I still think I will die thinking that the Oilers were a better team than the Florida Panthers. That's how I felt end of that series. It felt like the Florida only outplayed them really in maybe one game, and they just got goalied. Bob was unbelievable, and
I
then
forgot what game it was. I think it was, I'm pretty sure it was a home
game
game for
one
Edmonton.
was.
I think it was like game five, where I was just like, if Edmonton scores the first goal, they're winning the cup. And they score their first goal, and I was like, okay. And then Florida just decided to, like, hey, well, yeah, we're
I don't
here
know how
still.
I was so out on them winning that game seven. I thought there was no
Yeah.
way in hell, and then
Same.
I don't know.
Same. I was like, hey, Edmonton or the
Skinner's
Sens are
blocker,
picking their
man.
cup.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
Anyways. Oh, but before I let you go, thanks so much, Omar, for doing this, taking the time and coming on. Is there anything you kind of want to plug? Anything coming up? Just
Just same old, still we'll be gifting the year at Tic Tac Tomar. Been back at the Athletic doing another year of
awesome.
Maple Leaf observation, so looking forward to that. And
Great.
just again, just waiting and seeing to see what the Leafs do this year and if they do anything well.
When you do the evaluations at the end of the year, do you just like take the same thing and answer it over? Is that
I mean, so the See, here the funny thing is that literally if I just wrote about a game seven loss to Boston, that's four articles. I mean the only unique ones were the Habs one, which
in a fun way, right?
oh so much fun. So much fun. Just watching the Leafs waste a real life Disney moment. Like that documentary, I wish I didn't watch it. When I was watching Sheldon's speech, I forgot they lost. It was I was like, oh wow, this is uplifting. They're good. And it's like, no, they lost. So hopefully they do not waste those moments, and they literally give us something to cheer about. Because again, like as you talked about, like this Alex, you put it perfectly. This is the last dance for those five. So I hope they
But
get it
it's
done.
not your last dance as a fan. Just remember that.
No, it won't be. I'll be that dude. Like you ever see that the clip of the Rangers winning the cup in '94, and there's that one dude in the stands with the sign saying, "Now I can die in peace." That'll be me in like 2075.
Yep.
I'm like,
In the
okay.
water, as
Yeah,
you think. Yeah.
exactly.
Well, thank you so much, Omar. You're the best out there. I think you're definitely the funniest person on these Twitter for sure.
Thanks,
And
man.
I'm excited for all the gifts all season long, and hopefully you can gif into maybe mid-May. I'll give you mid-May. I'll allow it.
Yeah, honestly, that short that weird bubble season was like the only time I was like, huh, so this is what it's like gifting in the summer. Interesting. Yeah, we'll see.
Awesome. Thanks so much, man, and we'll do this again. Have a
No
good one.
problem.